Let it come is that evolutionary idea of where we are and where we are going, and it's the acceptance of what's happening, what's going on in our lives on a day-to-day basis, right? Doesn't matter if it's heartbreak or if it's an experience of joy, or it let it come. So in a sense, that is already saying, be. There is this poem by Noel, that Noel, I think Innes, that talks about the flow and it how we just are to be as it comes, right? So I am so grateful for that opening song. Thank you so much. All right, so spiritual evolution, my goodness. When I so I just recently switched my dates with Connie, I think, and I did not expect spiritual evolution to look the way it did when I started studying it. Spiritual evolution to me was, well, let's see how I move, how I progress, how I move. And it's some of that, but Ernest Holmes introduced some sort of new concepts, very old concepts, obviously, but my idea of incorporating spiritual evolution was something almost different. So, from the book, Can We Talk to God? And this is, I think it's different in many other people's, there are different editions of it. And so the colors and thickness and so on would change. But we are on chapter six, Spiritual Evolution. And the beginning chapter says, the evolution of humankind is definite, unhurried, and purposeful. The purposefulness is proven by the fact that something is evolving in a definite manner. There is always intent behind the life of the individual. So today I want to encourage you, even though you may think that you are stagnant, feeling stagnated, or that things aren't going the way you want it, or whatever else might be going on, there is definite intent behind your life. And I would encourage you to take heart with that, because at the end of it all, it's we are already there. We are just in that process of walking the path to get to where we think we need to be. But in truth and in fact, the allness, the wholeness of it is that we are already there. Or what is there? We are already living that life of what Ernest Holmes calls reality. So I had to go back to the Science of Mind textbook and try to figure out what he was talking about when he's talking about we are already there. What is it that we need to know? What is reality, right? And so he moved into that space of, one second, I'm in here. Wait, you need something? Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that. I didn't leave very solid messages on my door today. Normally, I would put up something on the door. So he talked about what is reality? Where may it be found? And this is in chapter one. Where may it be found, and how is it used? And so he said, in the beginning, God, right? In the beginning, spirit or intelligence only. No manifest universe. And that is our beginnings, right? That is who we are. That is our idea of God expressing as God as is, right? And so from there, you know, he kind of went into the idea of how, you know, God is self-sustaining, God is self-evident, God is self-knowing. And these are the ideas that had to be kind of replenished in my mind about who God is, because even when I know that I have it within me, that I am operating from a space of creativity, for example, and we are always creating, by the way, right? But as I know that I'm operating from a space of creation, I never really gave thought to the idea of, well, it's already be creating out of the same idea that brought forth the idea. So it is on, it's almost the self-existence of who I am showing up as God, but also not the entirety of God, because there is that beginning, there is that, but it's about how God, how Gail shows up in that space of self, self-propelling, self-movement, that inner ideas, those inner pocketings of ideas, those inner urgings of ideas, those are God. That is God expressing. And so he said, if we suppose spirit to be life, or the life principle running through all of us, which is all manifestations, the cause of all, then we must suppose that it is, and it has the substance within itself to bring in to whatever we need into self, into existence, right? It is the consciousness of knowing that it is, that it makes things out of itself through some inner act upon itself. So I had to be reminded that, you know, God is already God within me. God is God in my outward manifestation of what life looks like from an outward view. But it's also, it was also a reminder that when I really stay in that space, in that idea of who God is, in that contemplative space, that it brought me to the point of, wow, there is some intimacy here with God, right? And so that's some of the things that I wanted to kind of open up today. So Ernest Holmes' understanding, you know, he has been a mystic while on earth, but obviously we know that it's all God, all life, and life is everlasting, life is ever existing, and so there's no beginning, no end of life, right? So Ernest Holmes, his understanding of spirituality / the cosmos, he had some very, very distinct connections, and his idea of spirituality was that, you know, it's how we recognize the ever-living presence of good, how we recognize truth, how we recognize beauty, peace, power, right? And so his idea of spirituality blends perfectly with how I feel about me expressing myself as God, for example. How do I express truth? How do I know truth? How do I know power? How do I understand or even feel love, right? And these are attributes of God that shows up, that we are a part of. So obviously it's all one. If it's all one, there are no divisions. There has been that idea of eternalness. And so not every one of the attributes we may feel at any particular time, generally mystics have this, have a way of just being in the presence and feeling the different attributes and qualities of God. Now, not all of us are equipped right now, as far as our self-recognition of it is, to understand what peace feels like, what beauty feels like, what love feels like. However, as we understand ourselves, as we notice how the universe plays a role in understanding what our spirituality is, what our God aspect or God, feelers are, we move into that space of, well, if it is as me, in me, with me, then it is me, right? And as a way of moving into our idea of living, as our idea of spirituality, our idea of spiritual evolution, we have to know that it's not all about having to make it happen, having to figure out how it's going to happen, but we have to know that it is a definite, unhurried, and purposeful fact that we are going to unfold. How we unfold varies from situation to situation, but it is a given that we are, because we are just inherently spirit, inherently that consciousness, divine consciousness, for example, we are where we are already, but it's just about the path, all right? So one of the things Ernest Holmes said in the book was, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, and of course this is from the Christian reading, but Ernest Holmes also endorsed a lot of Christian principles, right? So, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, right? So this is from a passage, I think, and I didn't follow up to figure out where in the Bible this was, but it could have been one of the disciples, or maybe from the Paul, or one of those followers that was speaking to the crowd or speaking to others, and said that, we are now the sons of God, yet it appears what we shall be, but what we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, right? So in he's kind of, going two ways. We are the Son of God, but yet when he appears, which when we understand that presence of God, then we are already like him, right? So what Ernest, my interpretation is that Ernest is endorsing the idea that we are sons of God, we are sons of this creation, we are emanations, we are manifestations of the power of God to bring the individualistic idea of who we are into play, right? However, he says, we are the sons of God now. We are now the sons of God. So in other words, Ernest was stating, do not fear. You are now the sons of God. Do not worry. It is necessarily so. As your consciousness expands, you will understand what true sonship means, what God is, what divine sonship means, As you awaken, you will realize that you are awakening to yourself, right? And when he shall appear, we shall know him because we shall be like him. So in other words, I'm going to continue reading. This is the message he was trying to convey, that even now the divine reality is accomplished in the infinite mind, right? So if it is all one, if God is all there is, then we are that infinite mind. You know, there is no infinite mind and you, me. It is infinite mind. And so we are moving into that space where Ernest Holmes says, spiritual evolution should make the infinite distant, but more intimate, more close, right? He also said that the physical evolution of humankind, although it's definite, unhurried, and purposeful, is also how it moves in from that spiritual space as well. So in other words, I'm going to encourage you to, you know, keep your chin up, you know, be of good cheer. It may seem as though things are not working out the way we need it to work out, but there is that underneath current, that absolute urge that we have put into that creative spirit, into that creative atmosphere. And once we have recognized and know that, hey, our word have that power, it's going to bring our whatever we need into play, right? So in on page 35, it said that it matters not whether we are intuitive or if we conclude ourselves to be the divine offspring or the divine consciousness. It doesn't matter. It is just who we are, right? So some people get there sooner than others. Some people understand their divine connection a lot faster than others. And some people go through that painstaking kind of process to figure out things, to figure out life, right? It doesn't matter. Just know something definite is taking place. Even the idea of wanting to go through a painstaking process is already telling us, telling you that, hey, you are moving towards where you need to be, right? In your idea of how you show up, right? So we know that from the creativity aspect process in the Science of Mind, that it talks about the divine urge that is hidden within each of us. And that divine urge is that nudge, is that strong desire or impulse that we have to move forward, right? Who put it there? Well, it's always been there. The divine urge to create the universe, the divine urge to create, planets and, you know, the different universes, right? So it's always been there. And that's who we are, and that's how we express, right? Our God selves are expressed as our ideal person. So we do have the idea of the, there is a word that we use when I was going through that class. But in other words, we do have the blueprint. Well, it's a blueprint. It's not that exact word, but we do have everything within us already that has, you know, that can move that strong desire, that nudge, that urge into creation. How and why it happens, whether it's fast or slow, that part of it I don't understand. Maybe it's a process, maybe it's a pathway we have to adopt, but we got to know that what we are seeking isn't lost. What we are seeking is right where we are, right? And by the way, there is a statement that what we are seeking is also seeking us, right? So we are talking about the unity, the oneness of who we are and how we show up and what these divine urges are within us. Because we are individuals, we have self-choice, and that plays a big part in how, you know, our manifestation unfolds, right? And no right or wrong, no good or bad. It's just our will. It's just what we are desiring, right? So when an idea emerges, let's say, from that space of unconscious, it moves from that unconscious into the consciousness of our conscious state, to our self-conscious state, maybe. And that is where the creativity moves us, right? So we become more individualized in the sense of what we are choosing to move into, right? So Ernest Holmes said, from the moment that we were able to say, I am, he said, from that point, nothing has been forced upon us. We have lived and learned to experience and to discover, right? So our idea of self-choice, our idea of our own free will, our own volition, as they call it, is all about the unfolding, right? The time has come, he said, in our evolution when we should awaken to a recognition that behind each one stands the eternal mind, that each has complete access to that eternal mind. And that's where we get inspiration. That's where we get revelation. And that is also what is surrounding all around us as that divine law, divine mind, or our eternal mind. So we just have to know as truth that, you know, we are awakening to who we are. And as we awaken, we got to remember that we are in, you know, our God consciousness is on that path of evolving our own reality, right? There's a part in the scripture that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And as we understand how our lives unfold, how the laws of nature work, the laws of nature will open the doors for us. So as we knock and we say, I am that, we are in alliance, with what we know, alignment with law. And that law has to move through, has to obey us, has to open the door, right? So we have to know that we are already perfect, that we have everything within us to create that perfection. Why? Because we are one with the ideal and idea of complete perfection, perfect God. And if it's perfect God and we are all one, then perfect man, because we are individualized in that idea of how we show up, right? So the life that we are is literally the manifestation of our consciousness, the life that we are. And as we know ourselves more, and as we depend more upon that idea and the, you know, maybe the philosophy that we know that all is already one, and from this one comes many, right? So we have to be able to say and speak our word and speak our word from that space where we know as we speak it, it's already there, it's already manifested. We just have to find our path to it, right? So spirit, as we know it, makes things out of itself. So when we speak our word, we are speaking from that space that already has that completion, right? Because it acts upon itself. There's no other way for it to bring things into manifestation except knowing that we are it already. This is God, all of us, God expressing in its most magnificent forms, in its most loving forms. And it shows up as our own self-knowingness, our own perceptions, right? Our own idea of consciousness, right? So what God knows is about what I know. No difference. I only put it separately so that you could understand it better. What God is, I am. I am life. God is life. I am love. God is love. So it's intermingling, right? So we got to remember that we are not just living, or we are not living life. We are living God, because God is life. And we are not, God is not giving me life. I am life. I am God expressing. I am the very thing that God is. You are life, and you are the very thing that God is. So you are self-existing, and you are calling forth the things you are needing to see manifested in your life. So we are equipped with what we already need. And in closing, it shows up as, there's this analogy of the seed. The seed that has everything within it to bring it to its to a full tree, you know. And they had, at one point I heard, you know, an oak tree analogy, right? Where an oak tree is just so amazing and strong and sturdy and huge and towering over so many others, right? And so even with that little seed, that oak tree became self-existent, became manifested because of what that seed carried. So I want us to understand and to remember and to know that we have everything that is inherent within us to move us into a space where we are evolving into. And you can evolve into anything. You can move into a space where this is your next best calling. This is where I see myself. This is how I anticipate my life to be, right? And that is you, the individual, God expressing, self-knowing, and you are moving yourself into it. So it's almost that evolution of you. And by the way, that seed couldn't create anything else. Why? Because there is no confusion in God. And if it created anything else, let's say the oak tree, the oak seed created a palm tree. Oh my, what chaos, right? There is no chaos in God. God is not, God cannot produce confusion. There is only alignment. There is only peace. There is only ease. There is nothing that would deter the actions of another, right? It's like real scientific equations. Things happen from one end to the other, and it happens with ease and fluidity and with, you know, what we want to see happen. So just remember that why spiritual evolution, and what does spiritual evolution do for us? Well, spiritual evolution is truly an individualistic idea. It is about our spiritual viewpoint, probably, just like we have physical evolution things don't stay the same. It's always moving, always expanding, always becoming more of itself. That is exactly where we are spiritually. We are always unfolding, becoming closer to the idea of our ideal God, our ideal person. That God self within us is becoming open, is becoming more clear and clearer as we move along. All right. So I just want to remind you that Ernest Holmes, in this last statement, where he talked about that it's about, it's not evolution generally, but it's involution, what is what we should consider. And I didn't write down the actual page, but here it is. Evolution is a principle which, though invisible, finds manifestation in every form of life. It is the logical and necessary outcome of universal intelligence or spirit. But evolution is an effect of intelligence and not its cause. It follows involution. Involution is the idea, while evolution is the unfoldment of the idea. Involution precedes evolution with mechanical precision, propelled by the unchangeable law, which is the law of cause and effect, right? So I want you to know that that urge that you feel, that idea of I want more, that idea of expansion, those are the urges that you pay attention to. And then evolution just takes its course and makes things happen. But the idea of you really zeroing in and contemplating your universal idea of who you are and you know, the truth behind who we are, those are the and the ideas, the images, the imaginations, your dreams, your goals, all of these are your urgings. And that is where you have the cause first, effect after. So remember, as you sort of invocate, well, it's not really invocate, but you know, the word is involution, which is like you know, forming, you know, having you know, kind of, you know, what it's like unfolding, right? So you have these ideas, and these ideas move into your evolutionary spirit, evolutionary life, in a sense.